And you are listening to Villain Cast, BJJ Anti-Heroes, with myself, Chris, the Villain Pains, and Naki, El Jefe, Arshed. And welcome to Reap the Week. But first, a quick thank you to our members at In Theory BJJ, Concept Driven Jiu-Jitsu, for fight commentary, technique and concept videos, private coaching, monthly webinars and Q&A sessions. Please visit www.patreon.com/InTheoryBJJ. Hey, Nak. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Two weeks.
And the rest, I think. Might have been longer. Yeah, because I think I had Josh the week before, didn't I?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
So, yeah, it's been 3 weeks. Weren't you feeling a bit ill the week before or something?
Yeah, and then it was Eid. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while then.
You were on holiday 1 week as well, so yeah, it totted up.
Dude, well, it's okay. Yeah, that was, yeah. So there was the week with Josh, and then I think you were ill the week before, so we're finally back. Finally. Back together now, though, are we? Feeling better?
Yes.
Fantastic. So it was the Eco Camp over the weekend.
I will go to mute.
There are points I'd like to talk about. There are questions on those points. But we won't jump into that. We won't go all in on it, or, you know, from the get-go. I think we'll get round to that. So the first question then, we both have to teach beginners, so this is quite a good one. Don't have to, we enjoy it. We both teach beginners. We don't have to, we enjoy it. Biggest tip for starting BJJ?
You're going to get hurt. Your first 6 months are going to be really, really hard because your body's going to adjust. You're going to want to give up a lot. but like we always say, it's not for everyone. So if you turn up and you get smashed up, which you will, and your natural instinct is to say, look, I can't do this, just accept it. You know, try maybe once more. And then if you think that it's not for you, come to the decision, because then it's going to be hard for you to carry on, because it's one of them things that you either stay around to get beat up enough, because it's like a fix for you because you become an addict. or if you're some kind of like person who just finds something and wants just what's the answer, you want to solve this puzzle and you just go into the pursuit of solving it. But there's no point getting yourself beat up every day, I'll tell you that, unless you there's something wrong with you.
We have said that before, as in, you can almost tell on the faces of those who come in, like, oh, you're going to be around a while because you're insane. And those who come in and you think, no, you may not be here.
We've had quite a few over the years who've said they wanted to do X, Y, and Z, and they've lasted 2 weeks.
I know. It's not for everyone. So the biggest tip I'd say for starting jiu-jitsu is... manage your expectations. I think one of the problems is that, especially, you know, I can't really talk from the female perspective, although, you know, I have said over the years it's the great equalizer. I'd say that I think that's probably most appropriate, is that, you know, from watching people train over the years, you know, men and women, is women, it's one of the biggest things you're going to find with your expectations is... you are more powerful than you thought, as in you are going to be capable of one day dominating a man, you know, and completely breaking any of those ideas down that you thought you couldn't. Like, you absolutely can. On the flip side, if you're a guy who thinks he's powerful, you're about to get humbled. And I think there's an inbuilt, you know, from the male perspective here, is... there's an inbuilt part of you that says, like, you know, oh, if I entered into a scrap, I could probably win. And then you are put into that scenario and said, cool, go for it. And it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to. And the amount of excuses I've heard over the years of...
it's because they don't go red. That's why.
It's my cardio, or, you know, it's my fitness that's let me down. No, motherfucker, you can't fight. Like, just Just accept it. Like, accept just turn around and go, shit, this is new. I actually don't know what the hell to do. And the other one is like, yeah, but I you know, it's because I don't know any techniques. Yeah, exactly. That's why you're here. You're trying to learn shit. I mean, oh my God, how many times have you heard those over the years? You know, you sat down with beginners and they've said those words of, oh, it's my cardio, or it's my fitness, or, oh, but I just don't know any techniques.
It was that Monday you went, didn't you, when we were sparring? You know that new lad who was there?
His brother,
but the bigger lad, his brother would egg him on saying, oh, go for it. Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? He says to him, kept turning on, I don't know any submissions. I'm like, you got to get past my legs first, mate.
Yeah, like, that's going to help you. Like, oh, if I knew I could really make a choke, I could definitely get past this guy's legs, take his back and choke him.
Yeah, it's different, mate. Like, got to break it down.
I know. And it's such a weird ingrained idea that you have that, oh, yeah, if it kicked off, you know, I could throw hands. No, you can't. You don't know how to fight. I'm sorry. And that's what makes it the equalizer, as in, if you can accept that, biggest tip for starting jiu-jitsu, if you can accept, like, right. I mean, they tell you about get rid of your ego. I wouldn't say get rid of your ego, because you need ego that's going to make you want to push and get better. Like, your ego is an important thing. It's be okay being humbled. Like, be okay being, like, having your ass shown, essentially. Like, cool. Yeah, I don't know shit. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, I'm paying you to teach me shit because I don't know shit. Otherwise, if I knew shit, I wouldn't need to be here. But again, on the flip side, for women starting jiu-jitsu, I'd say, yeah, it's going to be intense, but it's the great equalizer. I remember Kate when she started, and the first time she submitted the new guys, and she just looked at me like, oh my God, like, I can do what now? It's like, yeah, like, you never thought you'd be capable of fighting, and here you are winning. Like, yes, exactly. So yeah, any kind of thoughts on your expectations? I think that is probably the biggest tip for starting jiu-jitsu. Is like, it doesn't matter how fit you think you are, you're not fit for jiu-jitsu. You know, we've had all manner of people come through the doors. They're not fit enough for jiu-jitsu. As much as you think you can, like, get down and fight, no, you can't. You don't know what you're doing. Like, no one has a grappler's chance. Like, just come in, prepare to be humbled, and shut your mouth and open your fucking ears and get ready.
Yep. Accept the message.
Exactly. This is an interesting one. Okay. So I think someone somewhere or something, it may have kicked off, like, so paraphrased, please explain why you said that side control doesn't work.
No, I think people get confused, don't they? Because we don't say side control. We class passing guard. We don't really name the position, do we? We just say we stay in the armpits. I think that's where somebody's got confused.
Well, no, I think side control as it's taught, and this is where it kind of comes from, is, yeah, as in, well, no, I think it's wrong on a few levels. Is that the first one is, just because you got past the legs doesn't mean you got past the guard. As in, to get control is a completely different beast. And if people know how to defend, even Preet style of just covering up, that's going to kill your side control. And even, I remember Christian saying it after he started playing a lot more of, with running man and everything. It's like, to then ask people to open up the other person's arm, like, okay, well, ignore everything we just said about, you know, covering up the armpits. I'm going to need you to now open up the armpits and climb in here. Like, but why? Who would have let me in here? And so it becomes a lot more freeform of just controlling the spine, controlling the armpits, etc. It's not just that straight pin. But also, that pin doesn't really exist outside of jiu-jitsu. There's a reason why wrestlers and judokas use scarfold. Because holding someone down in regular side control is really fucking hard when they want to try and stand up. And so to think that you're going to get past their legs and get to side without A, them going into a defensive posture, or B, getting the fuck up. Like, you can't just teach side control from the get-go. It doesn't exist as a position as it's currently taught. Yep. It has to be wildly adapted. And it's that idea of certain things in jiu-jitsu only exist because of that's the way it's kind of always been. Like back control, I've been doing that a lot recently with a few people. Like the idea of polishing a turd. Like back control is back guard, and it's a terrible position. It's really hard to maintain. Like you might get lucky and hunt a choke off it, but maintaining it against someone who knows how to defend and then being able to actually apply a choke, really fucking difficult. Back mount, however, fantastic. But do we just try and make back control work because it's just a position that you've seen and now you try to polish a turd? It's still a turd. And yeah, side control, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist outside of jiu-jitsu. If you were to start again with the rules that we have, would side control exist? Probably not. It's terrible.
Agreed.
Oh, this is one for you because you know way more on this than I do. How important is a good fitness routine?
Oh, very important, very important. Very important because I was having this debate with someone the other day. And you know how you guys get a lot of these people saying like, because guys like Marcelo Garcia didn't do much strength and conditioning. They were just always rolling. And it became the greatest of all time and all that other stuff. But if you look since then, like when the guys who are doing the rolling and who are fitter and stronger are like, arguably, a lot of the mid-level guys would probably beat Marcelo Garcia right now because his style has changed completely. I know a lot of people might disagree with that, but it's just like MMA. The way MMA has evolved, submission grappling or jiu-jitsu, whatever you want to call it, has evolved. Like, white belts now, 6 months or a year in, are such a crazy standard nowadays, whereas me, I'm only 9 years in, and you're before, not too far before that. Like, it's so different. Like these guys are so much better because it's, especially our gym, because I've seen it firsthand and people I teach, you know, we don't teach them a lot of the bullshit stuff that we were taught or, you know, we were expected to just keep drilling. And still till this day, we don't use most of the stuff that we used. But I think it goes into the whole, if you're stronger and fitter, your recovery is better, you can train more, you can train harder for longer. And just in general, you're stronger, and so your joints are stronger, you're fitter. And I think rolling all the time can sometimes get boring as well. I know as much as we love the sport and, you know, we do it every day, but I think sometimes it's like, okay, I want to do something that's active but and will help me in my sport, but I don't want to roll. Not today.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like outside of, because of all the videos and all the stuff I do online and then all the privates and the classes and everything else, I do enjoy stepping away from jiu-jitsu. And I think that's, its balance is important. I've been in this game for 15 years now, which is not a small amount of time. And aside from the pandemic, I've taken 1 week off in 15 years. So... shut up, Nack.
Like, yeah, we all had the pandemic off. Like, we were not allowed to do anything. That was,
no.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's open secrets right now, isn't it?
I didn't think it was a secret.
No,
they were the rules. No, they can't train.
Yeah, we didn't have any parties.
Mate, if the government can do it, anybody can, like...
Yeah. I'd say that... Well, no, as in, just boil it down. It's a sport. And in any other sport, would you be able to do your sport without being fit?
Exactly.
Like, okay, you're an amazing footballer, but go run for 90 minutes. Oh, yeah, but I could just rely on my skill. No, you can't. Go run for 90 minutes. How do you feel now? I'm fucked. Yeah, cool. And this is like, you know, a few of the guys recently have been... want to get good at, you know, or compete and everything like that, is doesn't matter how good your talent is. If you can't get out of fucking bed in the morning and push yourself, it doesn't mean shit. And that's things like, you know, back when I was taking this seriously and I first walked into jiu-jitsu and I got my ass kicked, I couldn't run more than a mile. I'd never run more than a mile. I couldn't swim. We're actually... I once dropped 50 kilo on a bench press on myself and had to have some dude one-handed deadlift off me. I had no strength and no cardio. But then I'd wake up at 5 in the morning, go to the gym for 6, go swimming for 7, and eventually within 6 months I was doing a mile of a morning, go to work for 9, work until lunchtime, go back to swimming for another mile, work in the afternoon, go jiu-jitsu, go to the gym, go do a 4-mile run, sleep. And like I was fucking hungry. I wanted to succeed in this fucking sport. If I couldn't do jiu-jitsu, I was going to make sure I was athletically better. And so at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I didn't really have any instruction, so I was just winging it. I was buying every book I could find, watching as many videos as I could, and training every hour that I could find to get better at this. And then if you're turning around to me and just thinking, oh, you can just coast your way and do a couple of competitions and you're going to get to these places, like, fuck are you? Like, talent, fantastic. But if you haven't got drive, doesn't mean shit. Just, again, taper your expectations. Where do you want to go? Do you want to just enjoy the sport as a hobbyist? Or do you actually want to get far? At which point, I can't help you with that. If I can't drag you out of bed at 5 in the morning.
Agreed. All them points for fitness. Like, do it. Like, you'll be fitter and healthier anyway. And it's, you know, get strong. There's nothing wrong with being strong.
Well, yeah, it's a power sport. It's a power sport with cardio. And, like, again, those people are like, oh, I've got my fitness. Well, fucking get up in the morning then. Like, go out for a fucking run. Like, why aren't you doing it now? Like, if you're listening to this podcast sitting down, fucking run. Go run now and listen to it. Yeah, can't take fucking excuses. Like all those people that really got far in their sports, like Olympic athletes and are boring fucks. Like they're the ones who don't go out and go drinking with their friends of an evening. They don't go out partying. They're the ones who are working until they drop and then they'll do it again, doing active recovery and stuff like that, taking this shit seriously. And then they're the ones that fucking succeed, get known, get famous, because they put the effort in.
Get in the gym.
Yeah, go to the gym. yeah, and like you could see the ones with that kind of mad intensity in the gym. Like Ollie, you know, at 15 years old, was cycling 10 miles on dark country lanes to come training. Like, yeah, that kid wants it. He'd get up and come training at 6 in the morning, spar for an hour, go home, shower, get his school uniform on, and go do his GCSEs. Like, that's drive.
Yeah.
Good fitness routine. Depends what you want to do with the jiu-jitsu, I guess.
Yeah.
At what point do you introduce playing or passing close guard?
Ooh.
Never.
Yeah, maybe when they've competed a couple of times or whatever, because they'll meet somebody from certain clubs who just want to sit on their bum straight away and lock their legs around you like you would in bed. And they just want to hold you there for 5 minutes and somehow, in the rules of jiu-jitsu, the bottom person wins. I don't know how that works, but yeah, it's happened in front of me a couple of times and I'm like scratching my head thinking, for the love of God, like, I don't understand how, I'm not going to get into it because I had this debate with the referee there. I mean, the way he explained it, I understood because of the rule set, but I just, yeah. So I think it's important we have to teach it because we then went and spent a month on it because we don't want to be stuck in there anymore.
I'd say in guard in general is, I'm happy that we're not necessarily teaching guard for a while, like for the first few months, just because it's something that requires you to, you know, effective guard requires you to essentially use your feet like hands. Like, you know, you're hand fighting with your legs and you're trying to use your legs with good dexterity to be able to enact change. And when you're new to jiu-jitsu, you don't have that dexterity, you don't have that control, and understanding it is fucking hard. Teaching to get up and be on top is pretty easy. And so once you're finally used to your body, finally used to violence, and can get stuck in, then yeah, we'll start bringing it over time because you've started to understand how you can actually, you know, you actually have dominion over your body for the first time when normally most people don't. Close guard, that can come in a bit later. Like, you know, it's based on attacking the upper body. But at the same time, I think there has to be that element of stand up first. Like if you're being held down, yeah. So I think there's a lot of layers first that before you even get to close guard. And I play close guard against you. Nothing wrong with it.
No.
But at the same time, I think, again, like the person in guard has to also change their mindset of I'm not the person losing. I think that's quite important. Like, oh my God, I'm in close guard. I'm you know, a wilting flower now. Because in no other martial art or scenario would that be the case. If that's MMA and you're in close guard, who do you think the winner's going to be?
Who can punch? Time, like,
yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like you do it to me. Like every time I try and play close guard, you stack me on my head and like try and crush my face with your shoulders. I'm like, cool. Yeah, I don't like it down here. So I think how we look at a lot of guard in general has to change of like, I'm the fucker on top. You're the one who's fucked. Because if I get past your legs, you are absolutely losing. Like, you're the one who's not. You've got to win, for you've either got to sweep me or submit me. And if I'm staying on top, you're more than likely going to lose. And I'm going to bully you from here. Like in the game, just punch choke them. Fuck them. Like, they don't want to play these stupid games, hurt them. So I think there's a lot of layers that have to come through first before we go down that route.
Agreed.
Let's get ready. Tips for a 6-month blue belt to not stagnate.
You're going to plateau anyway. It's going to happen sometime soon anyway. But generally what I say to people is you change your attention to something else. Or let's say there's a certain area that you've been on for a while, just try to learn about something else. Put yourself in a different position. If you're always beating people in the gym, or if there's someone who you're always beating in the gym, let them beat you. Let them play their game. You know, there's so many different variables you can change, so you just don't plateau. Because plateauing is like hard, man. It's hard to take sometimes. It's like, no, don't plateau, man. Recently, I plateaued in Ramadan, and it was the worst thing. I was like, and then I hit my thumb as well. I was like, oh my God. But I'm getting out of it now. And today I had some fun rolls. I was like, I'm back.
Yeah. And I said, like, plateaus are the thing that probably drives most people insane, is that you think you're not getting any better.
Yeah.
Like you've hit but the biggest breaks come after the biggest plateaus. And one thing I'd say that the problem is with blue belts, I think blue belts are a terrible belt, in general. And also the reason I had a conversation with one of our blue belts recently, and I won't tell you who, but you could probably guess when you hear it, is that when you first get your blue belt, you're essentially a good white belt. By the time you finish your blue belt and you're a purple belt, going into purple belt, you're someone who knows enough about jiu-jitsu that you can throw like issues at black belts. That's a jump and a half. And the problem with the blue belt is the first time you get that bit of coloured cloth on your body and you're like, oh my God, I'm not one of those basic bitches anymore. I'm not a white belt. is that you're developing an A game, and then you won't step out of your A game because you don't want to look like an idiot, like you're not deserving of your blue belt anymore. And you can end up having these really sharp A games. Like a good blue belt with sharp A games is a decent person to play with. The problem is that you're supposed to be someone who understands all the jiu-jitsu by the time you get to purple belt. You're not lost. Yeah, I love blue belts with sharp A games because I can take them ever so slightly adjacent to their A game and they die. They're white belted again. And so as a tip for a blue belt to not stagnate, like, don't be a fucking blue belt about it.
Yeah, don't be cocky about it.
Yeah, like,
expand your horizons.
Yes, because there's no way you're going to break any plateaus or get to purple belt or anything like that if you don't humble yourself again and go, you know what, I'm barely a fucking, I'm a good white belt right now.
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
In a weird way, injuries, when you get like a semi-injury, that's not too serious to keep you out, but you can't use it for a while. Yeah. And it's, let's say it's your strength as well. Like, for example, a choke you do with your right hand, or a way you grab or arm drag with your right hand. Like, when that power goes away, like, that is a weird, but another way of... You're not plateauing because you're forced to now do different things if you want to carry the sport on, you know what I mean? Or if you want to carry on training.
Exactly. And the only way I'd say I've plateaued less as a black belt, just because, you know, you can tell me if this sounds familiar. I don't give a shit anymore. Like, the belt doesn't mean anything. I've got nothing to prove to anyone.
Yeah.
I'm a black belt. Like, go on, take it from me. My cold, dead hands. And because of that, I'm more willing to try stuff. Like, cool, if I fail, who gives a fuck? Every other belt, I cared more, and I think that slowed me down. And, you know, like I said, this conversation came around with one of our blue belts who has stagnated quite heavily because he's got a very, very sharp A game. Can catch me and you on occasion.
Does he want his purple belt? Is that what it is?
It's someone who's wanted it, yeah. And
I've heard the conversation.
Dude, you're really good at what you do, but you're shit everywhere else. So you know what? You need to stop playing your A game for a bit and go explore. Try something else. Be different. If you do a lot of no-gi, put a gi on, or vice versa. You know, if you play a lot of guard, play on top now. If you don't play any legs, stop playing them. Like, explore jiu-jitsu for a bit. That's going to stop you from stagnating. Stop getting into your own head and thinking, I can't lose, because then people won't believe I'm a blue belt.
Agreed.
We won't do the next question because it's going to come up later. There's a question of where to get a crash course on the new defensive postures. They're being recorded on In Theory BJJ Concept Driven Jiu Jitsu. I highly recommend checking it out. A new look. The running man are just a much simpler way of playing it. Last question before we get into the big one. How should I balance stand up and leg locks to get better at both?
Just do them both. That's how my advice would be. Just do them both.
Mix and match. I'd say that. I get balance stand up and leg locks to get better at both. If you find that your gym sucks in a certain aspect, play that aspect. And once everyone in the gym starts dealing with that aspect, like when we were getting up a lot, everyone got better at doing takedowns to hold each other down. And now that kind of like that's improving our skill across the board. And now it's like, cool, we know we can get up against everyone else because everyone in this gym is stopping us. It's the same with legs, as in if it's a skill that is an issue in the gym, like understand the core mechanics of it. So we'll have to do some stuff about we've got inside outside theory or bottom leg if it's standing up. Wait until let everyone play legs, and then when everyone's really good at attacking and defending legs and latching onto the core joint and defending it, then you can move on. But I'd say it has to be a gym. It's not a personal thing. It's a gym-wide thing. Like if it's a gym issue, improve the gym. Work on that as a team. Bring it into your, you know, change up your rolling patterns. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. Until that gets fixed. And that then brings us on to the last one. Someone asked, highlight from the eco camp. Do eco camps work? A basic concept for designing eco drills.
And what was the linked question?
Sorry. So it goes into how should I balance stand up and leg locks to get better at both?
With eco?
Don't
put me on the spot with eco because they'll all fall out with me.
So listening to Ed speak at this camp I was just at in Florence is, and I'm going to play both sides of this, is he made some really good points, is that eco is the idea of, like, you know, in a basic nutshell, letting people figure shit out for themselves, and you kind of guide them, you know, via the games you play to then figure these things out. Like he was doing a drill there where you wanted them to, he said, like, you know, I want you to pick up the other person's leg and hold on to it as long as you can. And then it'll be a case of you mix in some drills and look here. Now they figured out they don't want to have their head low. I'm like, okay, yeah. So it was giving them wrestling esque drills to like fix certain aspects of what they're doing. I'm not, you know, he's someone who is academically versed. I'm not going to pretend I am. But I'm someone who likes non-linear styles of training, like outside the norm. So the idea of, you know, on a basic level, creating games to create certain reactions is what we do anyway. So if I want to get, you know, have people improve holding each other down, I'm going to play that game of, right, person guard, you stand up. Person on the floor, you hold them down. Let's see what happens. And then leave them to it. And so that, you know, that basic concept for designing eco drills. Think of what you want a movement pattern for people to pick up, and create a game of right. So it's almost like situational sparring in a way, but with a designated right, an outcome that you're kind of like expecting of it. Like, I want you to now, you're going to figure out you're going to be holding down their hips and et cetera, et cetera. Like, if you just tell them, you know, you can tell them, right, I need you to hold down the hips. But like the style they're going to do it, they should be able to problem solve. Like you want to, like in jiu-jitsu, we're athletic problem solvers. And so eco has its place, I think, with picking up those movement drills. But the problem I have with eco is that when it's all in, like fuck everything else, because you won't figure out certain things about breaking dynamics and stuff like that. What are you fucking breaking? Like tell me the joint you're destroying. What ligament? If you don't know, you have a problem. Or even how chokes work, what are you trying to accomplish? Like if you just get a tap, what does that mean? And so, going back to how should I balance stand-up and leg locks?
Go on, carry on.
Is create those games. Like, if you want to get better at your stand-up, have people trying to hold you down, or then try and hold other people down as they're trying to get up. That'll improve your stand-up. If you want to get better at legs, play a lot more leg-locking guards and have each other attack onto the hips.
Yeah, and this brings me on to, okay, you get two beginners and you go all in eco and tell them to, okay, leg-lock each other. Go on. Figure out how to hold each other's legs in certain ways where it's hard for the other one to escape and you can create certain wedges around their leg and go on. If you said eco all in, I'm not going to show you nothing. I'm not going to show you how to control the leg, what joint you need to hold. I'm just like, okay, you need to find a way to leg lock them. Come on, eco that shit now.
Exactly. That's the goal of like, you know, try and create the right games for them people to learn stuff. I mean, I think one of the examples that I read was, you know, it's imagine you're trying to, you know, the game of football, you've got to try and get the ball from one side of the pitch to another. You've got to figure out how to get past the other team. And it's a dynamic. It's a dynamic thing, and you're against intelligent moving objects. But you know the goal. I've got to put the ball on that side. How I'm going to figure it out, I'll do it. And so if you said, like, right, I need you to figure out how to latch onto someone's hip with your legs, then, yeah, that's an interesting... That's a broad game you could play. But they go, right, latch onto it when they're trying to break your ankles, like put pressure on your ankles. Latch onto it without turning that way, which is going to get you DQ'd. Like, latch on, and you can create those, like, further, like, detailed games. But when it comes to the very end of the leg lock, they ain't going to know actually how the leg breaks. Like, they can cause some pain and get a tap, but it isn't going to tell them shit all about what they're actually doing. So the problem I have, and this is where I think the eco camp kind of fell apart a little bit for me, was that it became more of a discussion on eco itself instead of jiu-jitsu. And from that, I was like, you could say at one point it kind of got to me is that the discussion became so in-depth amongst the coaches, the students lost interest. I was just like, these people want to learn some jiu-jitsu. Like, this needs to be addressed. I had some people say to me, like, is this... What purpose is this? Is it for me to be better at coaching jiu-jitsu, or is it better for me to be learn jiu-jitsu? Because I don't know, it's not kind of addressing either right now. So I think those are some general issues with it. I think it got better over time. You know, you can't expect these things to work straight off the bat. Eco does have its benefits. Like, it does work in sport and for picking up movements. I mean, we've essentially been doing it to figure out stand-up.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm not a fanatic. I'm not someone who's going to go, nope, I have to figure out how to do this with everything. Like, no, some things I have to explain. Like, this is how chokes work. You can't just squeeze the neck and expect outcomes of tapping. Doesn't work that way. So it's movement patterns and stuff and learning how to problem solve, absolutely. But at the same time, I'm not going to become a fanatic on it. I want to see people get better at jiu-jitsu, and it's the right tool for the right person, the right job.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not. And that's kind of the same across all sport. Like, you know, you can eco your way as much as you want with football, for example, but then you still have a manager doing game plans.
Yeah.
Being prescriptive, I need you to do this. Like, that's like, okay, I'm going to give you this leeway during the game where you have to problem solve yourself. So it's been a mixture of the two. But I'm also being prescriptive. I need you to do this because this is where their weakness is.
Yeah.
So... it has its benefits. Don't be fanatical about doing eco all in. I don't be fanatical about just doing
the flip side. There has to be
something that sits in the middle.
Yeah,
right tool, right job. So it's something we do anyway. And pretty much everyone does it eventually when they give up on doing dry drilling at purple belt. Yeah. Let's go do some situational sparring and then we'll figure shit out. I want this outcome. I'm going to try and get up. You want me to hold me down. You've made your own little versions of it. It's just then designing those for beginners and everyone else as a coach. Which is why we succeed.
Moment of silence for that.
Yeah, there's further things, but I ain't putting those on a podcast. I don't have my voice recorded.
I want to hear them though tomorrow.
It was interesting. I learned a lot. And
good.
I found that a lot of our drills do it anyway, even just purely by accident. I'm not an academic. I've never pretended I was. I just give a shit about people getting better with jiu-jitsu and I'm not afraid to go, that's fucking stupid. That's essentially how I did it. Any final thoughts, Nak? Now we're back.
Yeah. Fuck eco. No, I mean...
Fuck eco.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, you're right. It has its place. And, I'm looking forward to the next few podcasts because I think this eco thing is going to go, it's going to come out again because of this camp. I think more people are going to be talking about it again.
I'd say it was interesting doing the camp and learning ideas on how to incorporate the ideas of it and seeing like, okay, well, this is how it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I think there has to be, I mean, you know, from what we're hearing on Discord, there's been a lot of discussion of people who just like, you know, had become those pure eco and stuff like that. I'm like, does it even fucking matter?
Yeah,
like, don't
exactly.
Get stuck in the fucking weeds. Like, the students out there going, the fuck is happening? Just teach us some good jiu-jitsu. Like, give a shit about us. Don't get stuck in this academic. If you want to get stuck in the academics of it, go do fucking academics of it.
Yeah.
If you want to just teach jiu-jitsu and get people better at jiu-jitsu, teach some fucking jiu-jitsu and give a shit about their progress. If it doesn't look like their progress is going the way you want, change. Get better. Do something else.
Yep.
We can be here all day otherwise, but yeah. It's good to talk again.
We'll always a pleasure.
Some.
Never
if you're around, we'll record some. I've busted my toe. I did a private today. I'm busting my toe up.
Oh,
I've got stuff to show you as well.
I need to see.
Yeah. And we've got a lot to work through. But it's been a pleasure as always, Nak.
Always.
I think my life has died. This has been Reap the Week with, Christopher and Paynes and Naki El Hafi Arshad. Good night, sir.
Good night.